We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Man who's never been called terrible, because he's a brilliant columnist right here at this city, though occasionally I have a disagreement with him. From the Philadelphia Inquirer, the great Mike Silski is on the line. Hi, Michael.
You know, I give Cataldi and Morgani credit for not being offended or triggered by that song.
That's no.
Offended by it. Morgani helped write it. All right, Mike, let's start with this. I'm not sure you've written about it. I haven't noticed it, at least. Let me throw you in the middle of the Pete Morelli furor. What do you think here? Is this something that the fans should be voicing their opinion on when the disparity is 40 penalties against versus 8 in favor of over 4 years?
I think it's absolutely justified for fans to voice their opinion about this. I was not in Charlotte last week, but I watched that game from beginning to end. And usually I don't do that. Usually I'm at the games watching it live in the press box. And it definitely gives you a different perspective. And I was stunned, too. I was flabbergasted by how one-sided it was. Not necessarily. Look, I mean, it's possible, of course, that the Eagles could be committing that many more penalties than the Panthers or any other team in a particular game. But to see the nature of some of the calls that were going against the Eagles and were not being called against the Panthers, and then to know the history, I completely understand why fans are frustrated. I don't think Pete Morelli is a very good official, and the Eagles, for whatever reason, seem to be getting the brunt of his incompetence.
All right, well, Mike, I'm sorry to have to tell you that Scott Green has an opinion on what you just said, and it demonstrated a fundamental lack of knowledge about NFL officiating. Mike, is it smart for any facet of a huge business like the NFL to call people that are angry about the officiating ill-advised, stupid? Do you think that's smart business?
No, it's not smart business. Look, Philadelphia gets defensive about its reputation, and the NFL at this moment is defensive about a lot of things. They're defensive about officiating. They're defensive about the perception, whether it's real or imagined, that fewer people are watching their sport. They're defensive about the national anthem before the games. They're defensive about a lot of things these days. And I think it's just kind of one more example of kind of where the league is kind of struggling a little bit at this point with its image and with how it handles itself kind of in the 21st century with Twitter and social media and public reaction and all that kind of stuff.
All right, Mike, at 5-1, how good are the Eagles?
I think they're pretty good. They're surprising me how good they are, but they're pretty good. You watch their offense in particular, and you and I have talked about this. I'm not the world's biggest Doug Peterson fan, but you watch their offense, and it's crisp, and it's well-designed, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. And their offensive line, assuming everyone stays healthy and Lane Johnson comes back Monday night, knock on wood, is terrific. And you have a young quarterback who is getting better by the week and getting better faster than I think anybody anticipated in their wildest dreams. So they're pretty formidable, and they can put pressure on an opposing quarterback without having to blitz. And that is really important. You know, that front four is very good, was very good against Cam Newton last week. They're in really good shape. They really are.
Here's the thing that's amazing to me, Mike. Kansas City loses a controversial game last night. They have two losses now. There's only one NFL team left with one loss, and it's the Eagles, which not one of us saw coming, not to this level. Is it ridiculous at this point I'm not going to use the SB word, but is it ridiculous now to say to yourself, you know what, they could at least go deep into the playoffs? It seems logical all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's not ridiculous, in part because the NFL seems to be getting closer and closer to achieving the parity that it says it kind of wants. I mean, you don't have – this is not a situation like the NBA where you have two or three teams or maybe four capable of winning a championship and everybody else is just going through the motions. I mean, this is, in particular, a year where anybody could get there. And the Eagles are 5-1. And sometimes the difference between getting there and not getting there is so small you barely pick up on it during the course of the game. It's a mistake here, a mistake there. It's the Raiders getting two additional shots at the end of a game to to beat the Chiefs and, you know, swing momentum of a season or change the standings or something like that. So, no, it's not crazy to think that they can be there at the end. I don't think the 5-1 is necessarily a mirage. I think it's a matter of them being a little sharper each week than their opponent.
All right. Now, Mike, one of the things you've been good at, because you are a journalist, is being able to know hype from reality. And I'm hearing one consistent theme coming out of the Eagles this week, and it's how big a factor the fans have been. And they've only played a couple of games at home. They're going to get the next three here, but you've been on the road. You've seen what the fans have done on the road. Here's Wentz yesterday talking about the impact the fans are having on the Eagles. How big a factor are the fans, Mike?
I think they can be pretty big, you know, one way or another. I think they're a great help when the team is playing well, and as we said, momentum is building and everybody's enthusiastic about it. And I think we've seen in the past sometimes that the Lincoln, before that, Veterans Stadium can be tough places for a home team to play when they're not doing well and people are letting them know it. It kind of snowballs in either direction. I think Wentz is right. I think this season is interesting because you had that game in L.A. where, in terms of sheer numbers, there might not have been as many Eagles fans, you know, in the history of a road game, but proportionally, it was like a home game. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And so to have the six home games, if they're able to beat Washington Monday night and keep this thing rolling, you know, all of a sudden Lincoln Financial Field, you know, does become a home field advantage. For a long time, it wasn't. You know, remember,
yeah,
we were going back, you know, when Chip Kelly took over, you know, wondering what had happened, why the Eagles couldn't win at the Link anymore. So, you know, it's to their advantage to swing that the other way.
Absolutely. Now, I want to move over to the Sixers because I'm old school. You know that, Mike. And
yeah,
I still apply. I apply. Yesterday we had Hollis on, and Hollis said, if you don't win, I don't want to hear about a moral victory. And you took from the first game a loss, great hope for a fun ride, which nobody's going to argue with. When do we start to apply the standards we use for other teams and demand that they win?
The Sixers, I think you've got to give them probably a third of the season to see where they're at. Brett Brown has talked about this ad nauseum, that, you know, you've got to go in kind of, let's say, 28-game chunks, you know, 25-game chunks, and see where they're at. Look, you know, like I wrote, the fun of the other night was not seeing where they are, it's seeing where they can be. It's seeing that, you know, what Ben Simmons can do now and extrapolating that out. Same thing with Joel Embiid. So, you know, I understand what everybody is saying about what Brett said after the game about him being proud of the guys and all that stuff. And,
right.
You know, we seem to dwell on what coaches and players say in this town more than actually what happened on the field and on the court. They went toe-to-toe with one of the two or best three teams in the Eastern Conference, with one of the two or three best backcourts in the league. And they were right there at the end, and if J.J. Redick hits a three or Jared Bayless and Robert Covington don't panic in those late game possessions and turn the ball over, they're right there with them. Is that a moral victory? Not necessarily. But it should be encouraging compared to what we've watched the previous 4 years.
All right, but you do understand that what Redick said after the game is what at least old schoolers like me want to hear, which is, this doesn't mean squat if we don't win. Redick went out of his way to say that, Mike, and I loved him for it. I loved it. That was the message I wanted these young guys to get, so that you don't end up with a culture of losing.
Well, in defense of the entire team, I was in the locker room after the game, and there was not an atmosphere of, hey, you know, isn't this great? We hung with the Wizards. I mean, guys were sitting slumped in front of their lockers, and everything was very quiet, kind of funereal. You know, I think you're looking at a team that's very, very young. Embiid is 23. Simmons is 21. Fultz is 19. You know, Redick is one of the few veteran voices in that room, and he was message sending, and that's good. That's why you paid him $23 million to come here. I think, you know, a counterbalancing message, you know, one from the head coach, one from the relatively speaking grizzled veteran, isn't necessarily a bad thing.
All right, Mike, one last question, and I need a drum roll for this. 5 years from now, Mike Sielski, the biggest sports star in Philadelphia will be?
Odds are Carson Wentz.
All right. Ooh. You did hesitate because you had Embiid.
I mean, Embiid.
Embiid was in your head, right?
He's real close, but football is football, especially in Philadelphia.
Mike
and
Sielski.
Greater than Embiid, is and can be, I think Wentz will have the edge.
Mike Sielski, read him every day. You're even in the Daily News now, right, Mike? We can find you everywhere.
I'm everywhere. I am nowhere. I am dark.
Mike, thanks as always, man. Mike Sielski, terrific insights into what's going on with the team now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.